I'm not invited to preach very often anymore. I used to, before I came to a knowledge of the kingdom, I got many opportunities to preach, but since I came to an understanding of the kingdom, those have gone away. So I cherish every opportunity I get to open God's Word and share. Thank you all for having us. My wife and I look forward to being out here with you for a while, and have already just been tremendously blessed this week, and look forward to sharing the rest of the week with you. If you will, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 15, this is kind of a lengthy chapter, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's 35 verses, and then we'll see what God has for us this morning. First Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city, to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the blowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them, until they be consumed. Wherefore, then, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And the Lord said unto Samuel, Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this conference. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Faust. We just ask that you bless the word this morning. You've given us these things as in samples upon whom the ends of the age have come. So, Father, I just pray that you would allow us to see the truth that's in it, and that it would change our lives and make us go out of this place wanting to live for you even more. In Christ's name, amen. I don't have an outline this morning. What I want to do is just kind of walk through this passage of Scripture and share with you some things that I see in it. So I hope that it will be a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll be able to see what I'm trying to share with you this morning. In Scripture, God has given us these Old Testament stories as types. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that all these things happen as in samples unto whom the ends of the age have come. They're written for our admonition. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So there's these passages, these stories in the Old Testament that we, as New Testament believers, can study and read and learn from. This particular passage is very, very simple. God tells Saul through the prophet Samuel to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Saul fails to obey God wholeheartedly and completely, and he reaps the consequences for it. The Amalekites are a type of the flesh. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, who we all know sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. He sold his birthright for a desire of the flesh. Amalek was probably the biggest enemy to Israel while they were in the wilderness. And if you study the typology of Amalek and Israel through the wilderness, you will learn great truths dealing with the battle between the spirit and the flesh. And when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have another type here of the spirit and the flesh. And the truth that we learn here is God wants us to utterly destroy our flesh, to die to self, to be crucified with Christ. Let nothing live. And it's that approach that I want to look at this particular passage with that in mind, that Amalek is a type of the flesh and that Saul failed to utterly destroy Amalek. So working through the passage, I want to point out a few things. In verse 1, we see that God gives instructions to His people. At this last part of verse 1, Samuel tells Saul, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. God doesn't leave us clueless. He's given us His Word. And the 21st century church has failed miserably in this area. If you go across the United States and go to Sunday school classes, I challenge you to find how many Sunday school classes are teaching from this book right here. They're teaching straight from denominational literature. I like what Brother Jim Brooks said earlier. They like a message sprinkled with Scripture. They use studies on communication. They use studies for couples. And they throw a verse here and verse there. But we're not teaching. We're not hearkening to the words of God. God's given us His Word. Another thing I'd like us to see from this passage of Scripture, that God's instructions are clear. Look in verse 3. Samuel, God tells Saul through the prophet Samuel, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infants and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Very clear. Very clear instructions. God has given us clear instructions in His Word on how to live the Christian life, particularly dealing with the flesh. We want to know how to defeat the flesh. If we want to know how to live for God, it's right here in the Word of God. I enjoy from time to time, I'll go to Brother Joey's website and listen to one of his messages. I enjoy your preaching, brother, because it's just very practical. This is how you live. You don't get that today. Preachers aren't preaching, thus saith the Lord. But God's instructions are clear. Something else I want us to see from this particular passage is that our decisions affect other people. Look in verse 8 and verse 9. "And he, Saul, took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Our decisions affect other people, especially those that are in leadership positions. The people followed Saul. And because of Saul's lack of obedience, the people fell into disobedience also. And for a side note, you can look at it in your own time. Esther 3:1. Remember the story about Esther? How an individual was giving the Jewish people all kinds of problems. Name was Haman. You know, the Bible says that he was an Agagite. To my knowledge, it can't be proven or disproven that that man was a descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites. But I think it's interesting that the Bible throws that in there. Our decisions affect other people. Those of you in leadership, if you fail to obey the Lord, it could result in the destruction of your people. Moving on, the next thing I want us to look at is just as Saul had to answer to God for his decisions, so will we answer to God for our decisions that we make in this life. Look at verse 12. It says, "When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on again, gone down to Gilgal. I believe Gilgal is a type of the judgment seat of Christ. When Joshua led the children of Israel over the Jordan River, the first place they came to was, and he actually named it there, Gilgal. And that was the place that they circumcised all the men. And it's a place where God deals with the flesh. They came through the Jordan River. They set the 12 stones up and made an altar. And then immediately they had a circumcision, and he called the place Gilgal. This is the place that Saul comes to, and I believe that this is a type of the judgment seat of Christ. This is the place that Saul answers to God for his decisions concerning the destruction of Amalek. Interesting about this place, Gilgal, in verse 21, Saul says, "But the people took of the spoil the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Saul showed up at Gilgal expecting to have a worship service. The common belief today in our churches is that when we all get to heaven, we're going to have a worship service. Saul was surprised. How many Christians will show up at the judgment seat of Christ completely shocked at what takes place? Verse 22 and verse 23. We could put it in park and stay here the rest of the evening. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity." Turn with me. Hold your place here. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. I don't want you to misunderstand me with what I'm going to share with you right now. God is worthy of more worship than we could give Him in 1,000 lifetimes. But God is more interested in our obedience on a day-to-day basis than our worship. To obey is better than sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 1, this is the prophet Isaiah writing to the nation of Israel. And at this point in time in Israel's history, the nation has just gone backward. He describes the nation as the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. Verse 8, he says, "From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They have been closed, they've neither bound up. Your country's desolate." Israel's in a horrible condition. It's in the same condition that we find the church in Revelation chapter 3. But look in verse 11. He asked the nation of Israel, he says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths and calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. I love conferences, especially kingdom conferences. I love church. I love any time the Word of God is open and taught. I love meeting and fellowshipping with believers. But you know, God doesn't... He says that it makes Him sick. If we're living a life of disobedience, He said, just don't even come. Just stay home. I hope and pray that God doesn't look at me here and us here and say, I'm tired of it. Why are you doing it? You're not living right at home. You're not taking care of the little things. God told Saul, utterly destroy Amalek. Don't spare anything. Back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 23, the end of the verse. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king. Just as Saul's disobedience caused him to lose the kingdom, our disobedience in this life will also cause us to lose the kingdom. We will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And just like those three servants stood before the Lord in Matthew chapter 25, only those that were found faithful were permitted entrance. Saul found no place of repentance. Verse 24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment. He said, I messed up. I blew it. He says, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray you, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with you. For you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. When we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be sorry, but it'll be too late. Just like Esau sold his birthright, and when he finally realized what he had done, he pleaded with his father. We wept bitterly. He sought it with tears. He sought that blessing. But he found no place of repentance. Saul found no place of repentance. He had forever lost the kingdom. Look with me at verses 30 and 31. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. This is Saul speaking. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. When I was studying through this passage and seeing, okay, this is a passage dealing with judgment, why was Saul permitted to worship? And the conclusion I came to was Saul had lost the kingdom, but Saul wasn't lost. We can see eternal security even through the judgment seat of Christ. If you recall back to Esau again, he wept bitterly seeking that blessing. And he never found it. But after a period of weeping, after a period of sorrow, his father finally said, "Okay, I'm going to give you a blessing. It's not the big blessing. It's not the birthright. But you're going to get a blessing." And just like Saul here, he lost the kingdom. He forever lost the kingdom. But he wasn't rejected from his relationship with God. You don't hear this very often, but you can live your life as a Christian however you want to live it and be eternally saved. Our eternal salvation has nothing to do with the way we live our lives. It's based solely on the blood of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. You hear it, I hear it all the time. If you're living in sin, you need to check your salvation. If you're doubting your faith, you need to look at the works in your life. If you're doubting your faith, you need to look at the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only place. If you're doubting your salvation, the only place to go that will give you the assurance of your relationship with God and your eternal destination is the cross of Jesus Christ. But if you're living in sin, rest assured that you will stand before the Lord and there will be consequences to say you will be saved in eternity, but you will miss the kingdom the same way Saul lost his kingdom. Look in verse 32 and 33. Saul failed in his instructions to destroy the Amalekites. But what Saul failed in, God took care of. Look at verse 32. Then said Samuel, "Bring hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." And Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. This passage reminded me of Matthew 24, verses 48 through 51, when Jesus says, "If that servant says in his heart, 'My Lord delays his coming,' and begins to smite his fellow servants and begins to drink and be drunken, he says, 'The Lord of that servant will come in a day and an hour when he's not ready. And he will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the hypocrites.'" What we fail to take care of in this life regarding our flesh, God will take care of at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 1. You all should be familiar with the story of Saul's death. The Philistines had been at war with the Israelites and they'd been pursuing them. And Saul came, realized that his death was sure and sudden. He asked his arm bearer to kill him, but he wouldn't. So he fell on his sword and that didn't kill him. Someone was walking by and he said, "Please come kill me. I don't want the Philistines to get me." So that individual slayed him, took his crown, and brought the crown to David. If you look in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1, "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came to even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan are dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray you, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. And I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Saul failed to slay Amalek, and Amalek slayed Saul. In closing, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. One of the most common verses that people go to trying to argue the word of the kingdom, when I share the word of the kingdom, one of the most common verses that people want to take you to is Romans 8, verse 1. The Bible says in Romans 8, and verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. But they forget the rest of the verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's funny that they use that verse to argue the doctrine of accountability and judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. James 3:1 clearly says, Brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. There's judgment coming. Not for those that walk according to the Spirit, though. But for those who walk after the flesh, be warned. Judgment is coming. But to tie it all up, look down in verse 13. And this sums up Saul's whole experience. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. God laid this message on my heart before I even asked Him. About 2 weeks ago, I was laying in bed, and God laid this message on my heart and convicted me of some things that I had not taken care of in my life. And I was so convicted. And the truth of the matter, we see this doctrine, we see accountability, and we understand the Word of God. And I'm afraid sometimes we get so caught up in the knowledge and the understanding that we forget, hey, there's a practical side to this message. Just understanding these truths is not going to get us in. And I hope and pray that there's nothing that I spare. Like King Saul, he spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the ox and so on and so forth, and that kept him from the kingdom. So in closing, I'd just like to ask you, is there something in your life today that you've held on to? that could be the very thing that keeps you from the kingdom and slays you at the judgment seat of Christ.